This week on the Midlife Crisis Task Force, it's current events, comics, and crappy movies. So how's everybody been for the past week?
Oh, I've been doing. Still looking for a job. Trying to get over the last bit of the flu. Hopefully I'll be right as rain next time we record, so this has been a killer. Definitely tell I'm getting older. I don't shake that off quite as much as quite as easily as
everything
I used
to. Everything is a little bit harder when you get older, apparently. And some things aren't. Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
Just what I've heard.
you stick with that story. So once again, ladies and gentlemen of the internet, I am Rando.
And I am Lefty.
And I'm Poncho.
And we are the Midlife Crisis
and
Task Force.
Damn straight.
Or lack thereof. So anyway, I'm sure that you've all seen some stories on the news and whatnot lately. We, of course, have our own little opinions on things going on. First of all, of course, depending on your point of view, this football player Teo and all the shit storm that he's been involved with, I really hope he's telling the truth. If he's a liar, then he's got a future in advertising somewhere.
Or politics.
Or politics, exactly. Yeah. But if he's telling the truth, he's had some serious shit happen to him, and whoever's done it is a masterful liar, and I hope they rot in hell, because toying with people's emotions is horse shit, and I wish that's a topic that Fox would take to heart. And all these other people who are producing these reality TV shows where they're making a toy of people's affections. That's just crap.
Yeah. For those of you who might not be familiar with this story, Monte Teo was a football player for the University of Notre Dame. He was a Heisman Trophy candidate this past year. He did not win, but he was nominated. In September, announced that his grandmother and his girlfriend had died within 6 hours of each other. And he went ahead and played the next weekend. It was a big story. And he used that as motivation for the rest of the season, trying to play for them, and just almost won a Heisman Trophy. Came close. And a few days ago, it was announced that it was all a hoax. The girlfriend never existed. Or at least there's no evidence she ever existed. And there's been a lot of speculation in the media about what exactly went on. And I'll be perfectly honest when I say this is fucking bizarre. I was telling Lefty before we started here, you couldn't write something like that fiction and make it believable. This just blows my mind.
It's crazy to me. One of the biggest things that's weird to me about the whole story is for how long this relationship lasted without them actually supposedly meeting. Now, I understand things are different nowadays. Kids do things differently. But I think after some point, what was this, 4 years, 3 years, 4 years? Or
three years, I believe.
You don't meet this person. And if this is the quote-unquote love of your life, I mean, it's just a lot of inconsistencies. I mean, the man goes to Notre Dame. This is not some kind of 12-year-old, 13-year-old little teenager that's love-struck with somebody. You know, this is a young man that's going to a major university. He's in the spotlight. He seems intelligent. He doesn't seem like somebody that would be, for lack of a better word, stupid enough to go through all this without meeting the person. You know what I mean? I mean, things are different, but they can't be that different.
3 years is a long time to carry on a relationship with someone solely over Twitter. It blows my mind that he didn't try to meet her somewhere. I don't know.
Well, didn't they only exchange still pictures? There was never actually any video. He just spoke to this person on the phone, and it was only still pictures. I guess they could have been using excuses of, you know, oh, I got to play in a game, or oh, I've got other commitments, or what have you. But I agree with you on some of the inconsistencies. You know, if you, you know, did he know of her before she supposedly had this car accident and then contracted leukemia? I mean, if I was infatuated with somebody, and I found out they had a serious car accident, were in the hospital, I would probably try to make an effort to go see them.
Yeah, especially if they found out they had leukemia immediately after.
Oh yeah, of course,
exactly. I mean, because when you start using words like "love of your life," and this kid seems like a straight up kind of dude, you know, there's real emotions attached to that. Why don't you see them? You're not playing football all the time.
No.
You do have an off season in college football. And it's just, I mean, like me and Poncho were talking earlier, the kid hasn't broken any laws. Nobody has broken a law in this situation. Okay?
Except for the person. Technically, it was identity theft. If those accusations are true.
Was there an identity stolen or was there an identity fabricated? Right.
And can it only be considered, I mean, I don't know yet if there's been any monetary gain from this, but I did hear one of the early reports when this story was first breaking that, now I haven't seen anything since, mind you, but like for the girl's funeral, or either right before she died or for the funeral, there was some sort of fundraiser for her. What happened to that?
Good question.
Very good question.
I hadn't heard
about
that.
That's fraud right there. This was early reports. I was listening to ESPN. I still have not read the initial Deadspin article.
Most of my
information, in fact, 95% of it is coming from ESPN Radio. And there, I mean, you know, between this and Lance Armstrong, this is the topic of the day.
We'll get to him in a minute.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, if this is true, I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, I feel sorry for him getting hurt like that, but he's got to be one of the stupidest people on the planet.
We've all been there. Love will make you stupid.
It will. No doubt at all about that. And I'm not trying to take away from the kid's feelings because we don't really know what happened. And really, in the end game of it, it's really none of our business because it's a personal matter. I mean, if this kid was, you know, a geology major, and he didn't play a fucking sport, we wouldn't know about this.
No.
Nobody would be using the word catfish, using that term out there now, and I don't know. It's just kind of, it's one of the oddest stories I've ever heard in my life. So
I just have to wonder, what kind of person perpetrates a hoax like that, and carries it on for years, and then ends it at the same time that the person they're perpetrating the hoax on actually loses a real family member.
Right.
I mean, that is just unconscionable.
I mean, are they waiting for the right moment? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't understand, like we were talking off air, what's the end game for all this?
I don't know. That remains to be seen, if it's ever figured out. Yeah. I mean,
it's just sad. I agree with Rando. It's really sad if it's true that somebody got hurt like this from just words on a screen and they fell in love and somebody was trying to toy with him. I feel sorry for the kid. But I just, the cynic in me does not think it was perpetrated for this long without that kid figuring. So a light has to go off at the back of your head at some point.
I would hope so.
I think that's just my opinion. I don't know. I wasn't there, and I don't want to discount any of his feelings. But there's a lot of inconsistencies, and the story's not even over yet. I mean,
it's ongoing because he hasn't spoken since this broke.
Right.
He's been holding his silence, and
that makes him look bad.
It does. I imagine he's going to have to make a statement sometime soon. Now, whether it answers any questions or raises 10,000 more remains to be seen.
Yeah, it all depends what they say. I mean, he's going to have a prepared statement. The thing that did surprise me at one point, I don't know if you guys had heard this or not, was it the athletic director or the football guy? One of the big wigs at Notre Dame stood up for the kid.
Yeah.
Saying they believed him.
Was it the I think it was the coach. Was it the coach or the athletic director?
I won't say it was the athletic director, but I don't know. Rando, do you know?
I don't know any facts, but I can understand their point of view because with a lack of evidence, there's no reason right now to throw the kid under the bus.
But people are doing that.
People are calling him a liar
and a fraud and all sorts of stuff. And
until a proper investigation is carried out, no one's really going to know.
Right.
But, you know, like you said, Lefty, I mean, what laws were really broken? I mean, is it worth the money to carry on an investigation unless somebody purposefully perpetrated some sort of fraud? And right now, I don't really see it.
Right.
Other than some people got upset.
The worst thing, I mean, the only thing you can ever really know is, you'll never know actually, is the intent. You know what I mean?
No.
Was this all perpetrated? If this kid's telling the truth, if this was perpetrated for an eventual monetary gain, why not wait till he's in the NFL? Because that's where he was going. And he still is.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't think that's going to change. But, I mean, why all of a sudden? You know what I mean? Which I think this is a good segue into the Lance Armstrong story. Why all of a sudden has he decided he's going to go out and confess to everything?
I think what they were saying about Armstrong, and let me say at the outset, I'm so sick of fucking Lance Armstrong. I wish he'd just explode. I'm tired of hearing about the sorry son of a bitch.
Right.
Okay. What I heard on the sports radio was, I guess he was issued a lifetime ban by the cycling association.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called.
Right.
I don't follow cycling. And so he can't compete in any cycling event. That includes mountain biking. That includes the triathlon, anything like that. And he is, I think, trying to get that at least mitigated so that eventually he can compete in some of this stuff. Personally, I don't think he ever should compete again. I think he's, you know, I don't see the purpose of letting him ride a bicycle in competition ever again. Yeah. I mean, he is just, I'm at a loss for words.
Well,
I'm so sick of hearing about it.
For me, I mean, and for me, the whole problem of this is, number one, the sport of cycling is so dirty to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, they were trying to they vacated his 7 wins. What I've heard is they tried to go back, you know, the way they usually do is try to maybe get the second place winner the reward. They can't do that because that person was doping.
Yeah.
You know, and so on. I mean, it's just supposedly a very dirty sport, which I must say at the get-go, I don't watch it. I could give a shit about it. I don't care about cycling. Me personally, I don't care about the doping aspect on this. What bothers me the most is this fucker's arrogance at the fact that he was pointing his finger at people, handing out lawsuits, ruining lives when they were telling the fucking truth.
Yeah.
And he just sits on a couch with Oprah, sheds a couple of tears, and he thinks everybody's going to forgive him. And I hope they don't.
Yep, I'm the same way. I feel exactly the same way.
You know, I don't even think he would have even agreed to the interview with Oprah had this not been nipping at his heels for so long. I think really he probably initially agreed to it to try to do some damage control. And then when they said, hey, now we have actual confirmation that he was in fact doping, then I think he changed his mind and decided to just fess up to it and see what happens.
Right. Well, I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Even then, I think he's got an agenda. He's going to Oprah. He's going to be on one of her networks that really wasn't getting a lot of ratings. This is going to be a big boost for that network. He gets to kind of control the message because Oprah is not going to nail into him the way a real journalist would.
Yep, you're right about that.
I wish Mike Wallace was still around because I would love to have heard Mike Wallace go at him.
A double team of, I agree with you, a double team of Mike Wallace and David Brinkley. He wouldn't have survived.
Exactly.
All right. Have some actually hard questions asked of him. And, I mean, another thing, yes, granted, I will give him credit for that foundation and their research. Now, I have a feeling down the road people are going to be looking at that charity, you know, depending on how public opinion goes, and do an audit or something on them. My understanding of it, in the last few years, it's gone more into cancer awareness than any actual research. Mm-hmm. And another thing I want to add on to that, I mean, they're all talking about, well, you know, he had that foundation, blah, blah. And the motherfucker himself wasn't doing any of the fucking research. They act like he's got fucking Nazis firing at him while he's in a laboratory sweating out some kind of fucking cure. He just put his goddamn name to something. Anybody could have done that that's famous. And a lot of celebrities do that. I believe, this is just my personal belief, he has an agenda that cancer, what's the name of the foundation?
Livestrong.
I mean, that's just, it's another marketing tool for him. I'm not saying he doesn't care about people who have cancer. I'm not saying that at all. But it's a marketing tool, just as anything else is. I mean, you know, people, he just put his name to something which is a worthy cause. And, you know, he used this lie that he's lived to perpetrate that foundation to grow. Does that, I mean, I don't... There's got to be a balance between how much bad and how much good balances out.
They were discussing this on the sports radio this morning when I was going into town. And they were interviewing, I think it was Colin Cowherd and one of the Mikes from the Mike and Mike show. They were interviewing the wife of another cyclist who I think had accused Lance of doping, and he had sued them. And... they were asking her, did she think, or they were discussing, did it matter that he had done all this good work with Livestrong in the end? I mean, and she was saying, not really, because, you know, Bernie Madoff and Ken Lay did good charitable works too, and they were still crooks.
Right.
So.
That's a good point. I mean, when Charles Barkley said, we're not role models, he's right.
Oh, yeah.
He was right. I mean, that's just the state of affairs.
Well, I got a lot of respect for Barkley actually coming out and saying that, because he's right. For one thing, they're not role models. And two, it isn't their responsibility to raise your children.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah. Don't look to them for that, please.
That anybody that succeeds in that way, whether it's in athletics or business or politics or whatever, you've got to have two things: a large amount of ambition and a certain amount of ruthlessness. And you really have to ask yourself, do you want your kids emulating that? I mean, it's good to reach. I mean, it's one thing to tell them to reach for the stars and everything, but if you got to step all over people to do it,
well,
is it really worth it?
Well, that, yeah, and also, I mean, like I said, I was saying before, I don't, you know, I really don't care if he doped in cycling because it's such a corrupt sport anyway. But, I mean, let's go back as far as people looking, kids looking at this guy, and in sports people in general, doing anything it takes to win, and mostly just getting a slap on the wrist for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're trying to push kids to do things the right way, and, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school. And when the reality of the situation is, if you're like a baseball player who's playing in minor league baseball, and you got people, I guess, like teammates and stuff who are going to the majors, you're not, you know what, you're going to be tempted to use steroids or some kind of HGH thing to get that edge, to get yourself in a better position. I mean, this is probably going off a little topic a minute, when like baseball back in the 90s, when all these records were being broken, baseball knew these motherfuckers were on steroids. They reaped the benefits of it. They didn't say anything. All of a sudden, public opinion changes on this, and then all of a sudden baseball's backtracking, saying how horrible this is for the sport, you know, and all these baseball writers are not putting anybody in the Hall of Fame for all this shit, because they're saying, oh, well, they did steroids. We can't trust anybody's record. Everybody knew they were doing it to begin with. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I heard an interesting proposition by a sports commentator, and I'll pose it to you two and see what you think. This guy said, you know, there's been all these doping scandals and whatnot. How about we just split all competitions in two? You have one that's steroid-free and one that's allowed to use steroids and call it like an extreme version of the sport.
Like the difference between wrestling and pro wrestling?
Yeah. Pretty much. But, I mean, you have one where the people are actually trying to achieve on their own merit, and the other ones are trying to achieve with chemical supplements. And just it's two separate, basically separate leagues playing the same sport.
It's an interesting concept.
I'm not saying I'm for it. I think it's an interesting proposition. I'm not going to say that I'm for it, but...
Well, see, the thing about it, when you... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk over you, Rando, there.
That's okay. I'll get over it.
All right. Sit down and be quiet, you baby. Okay? But no, talking about that, the whole problem people have, I think, with steroids is, like I said, you have an uneven playing field. Okay? Player A is doing steroids and doing great. Player B is doing it right and not getting the numbers. That idea of splitting leagues is actually interesting to me. I mean, there's also the legal aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, when do you start drawing the line? If a doctor writes a script for it, it's perfectly legal, and there are legitimate uses for these kind of medications. There are applications you can use this stuff for. All right, but let's say you start a league of baseball players. They can juice all they want, okay? When does that cross over into being illegal if a doctor's writing scripts for people for medications they don't need? I mean, doesn't that have to play into it?
I don't know. I mean, I think I can understand part of the argument. The altruistic part of the argument is if you look at the definition of the sport and human achievement, they're cheating.
Right.
But by the same token, I think a lot of people are saying, well, this is a slippery slope because people see them taking drugs to make these achievements and they're getting all this success and money and fame and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's probably a slippery slope to go from a substance that's frowned upon like HTH or other steroids or HGH or other steroids or what have you to just... taking hits of cocaine or something. I think people are genuinely afraid of that, and I think it's a reasonable concern.
Oh, definitely. I mean, and also, I mean, a lot of it has to do with the sport. What I've heard on the radio, I mean, baseball, I mean, obviously baseball is a statistic-driven league. You know, everybody cares about how many home runs you hit. You know, who's the home run leader? Who's the hit king? That kind of stuff. But meanwhile, football players have been doing this shit for fucking ever, too. Not that big a deal has been made about it, because I think people expect it of football players almost. Because, you know, they're putting, I heard one player talking about, you know, they're putting their body into a car wreck every week, which is a good analogy. I mean,
yeah, it is.
I mean, and it's like, I think there's a double standard when it comes to things like this. I mean,
there is. I mean, there's the public in this country has a different perception of baseball than they have of football, and different expectations. Oh. You know,
I think baseball's wrapped up in more of a spirit of nationalism. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I can see
they,
that.
They
yeah.
call baseball the American game. I mean, it's been ingrained to us in other commercials.
Sure.
You know, talking about, you know, remember the old Chevrolet ad, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet, everything American.
Right.
But you don't really get that with football. I mean, you get the Coca-Cola Mean Joe commercial, you know, whatever.
Right. But we're now you have to split it off, though, because football makes a hell of a lot more money than baseball does.
I think that's a lot of it right there. I'm curious how big a problem this would be if the teams and the players and managers and whatnot weren't paid these obscene amounts of money.
Well, sure. I think what these big salaries started hitting, I think in the late 80s, early 90s. And it's just, they've grown exponentially from there. I mean, look at A-Rod for the Yankees. He used to play for the Rangers, they're still paying him his salary on top of the hundreds of millions of dollars he's making from the Yankees. I mean, this guy has made probably $200 to $300 million just for baseball. That's not even including his endorsements.
And he used steroids, admittedly.
Exactly. Nobody's saying anything about him. You know what I'm saying? It's like you said, it's a lot about, Rando, it's all about perception. You got the American dream of baseball here, the American game, America's game. It's statistics mean everything in baseball. There's a history of statistics. There's a history of achievement in baseball that people care about more than they do football. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the home run record in baseball is a much bigger deal than, say, the number of touchdown passes thrown by an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
It's also romanticized a lot more in our culture.
You see
and read a lot more stories, that, colored from my point of view, that, about baseball. Mm-hmm. And how it's romanticized about the great challenge to be overcome and striving to be your best, more so than you do about football. Even in music, you've got these classics that you always hear. I mean, you know, the Take Me Out to the Ball Game and John Fogerty's Center Field. I mean, what does football have? The Super Bowl Shuffle?
Right. That's true. I mean, there is.
Look it up, gang. Look it up on YouTube. There is a song called the Super Bowl Shuffle. I promise you, pain.
We just dated ourselves with that.
The 85 Chicago Bears, kids.
Yeah.
But no, you're right about that, Rando. I mean, it's just that when you start tying in money is what. I mean, I'm going to sound like a friggin' bitter old man. Money corrupts everything. I mean, the more money that's in something, the more apt it is to be corrupt.
Of course. Look at government.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Business. Yep.
Yep. So, I mean, it's just a sad state of affairs when you have something like this. Going back to Lance Armstrong, you have a guy like that that was revered, and then, yeah. You end up looking at him, and you know he's a scumbag. He's not a good guy in the story.
No.
He is not a good guy, and you know.
I wonder, my want to believe in a good nature for most people makes me curious if he started out okay, and then somewhere along the line he became a businessman.
That's a good question. I mean,
we'll probably never know.
Exactly.
No, it's very true, because I mean, who's going to believe anything that comes out of his mouth now?
Right.
Yeah. Nobody.
And exactly. And this will kind of talk about what we were talking about online, me and Poncho. Also, think of his story at the time before all this broke. Okay. He fights testicular cancer. He wins 7 Tour de France's. He's like America's sweetheart, for lack of a better term. These are easy truths. These are truths people want to believe in. People want to believe the easy story. They want to believe this guy is great. There's going to be people, even after all this is done, is still going to support him, because they're going to look at all the cancer research stuff, and that's going to trump everything.
I think that's what he's hoping, too. I think he's hoping if he can come clean about this, at least get people to stop talking about whether he was doping or not, that his legacy then could be Livestrong. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, well, time's only going to tell.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that could possibly come out of this, is that the charity is able to focus back on cancer research, or at least doing some sort of good. The long and short of it is his sins were based on money and probably pride. At least he wasn't buggering little boys in the shower.
Very true. That is true.
Yeah. Well, I think we have beat that topic to death.
I think we have.
Yep.
Let's move on to something a little less serious. Okay.
Much less serious. Gang, we're gonna touch on comics again. We all have grown up with comics, and I think we've all taken slightly different roads to what we purchase and read in our comic literature nowadays. Let's explore that a little bit.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I tell you what, you have so eloquently presented this. You start it off, Rando.
All righty. As a kid, I loved Marvel Comics specifically, far above and beyond DC Comics. Captain America was my favorite. I've stated that on a prior show. But I also liked Iron Man. I liked some of Thor. I liked Spider-Man, Fantastic Four. I thought they were all good characters. The stories weren't so black and white. The characters had their own problems that they had to deal with. It wasn't just, the villain is colored dark and he's tying the girl to the railroad tracks and here comes the absolutely perfect, infallible hero character to come rescue them and then ride off into the sunset.
Superman.
Exactly.
So, which is an interesting observation, though. I'll bring it up now because I know I'm going to forget it later. If anyone's seen the movie Angus, there's an interesting comment about Superman. The character is a boy trying to fit in, and he just doesn't. And his grandfather gives him this awful, awful purple suede tuxedo-looking suit to wear to school dance. And he writes a note to the kid. He said, because the kid idolized Superman a bit, he says, Superman is a coward. Superman is a coward because he can walk into any situation, any kind of conflict or fight, and know he probably is not going to get hurt. The brave person is the one who walks into the fight anyway, knowing they're going to get hurt.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and I think I agree with that.
Even though Marvel Comics suffers from that in a lot of its characters as well, they gave their characters some personal issues and character development issues that they had to get over. For instance, Captain America, they had to deal with the fact that he was a man out of his own time and out of his own element. He was doing the best he could to cope. Iron Man had an alcoholic stage where he had to really deal with the demons in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Stories like that were interesting. And for me, that was fine, I guess, maybe when I was, up until the point where I was around maybe 12, 13 years old. And then as I started to mature, I realized that the comics weren't. And I think that's when I made the shift, as DC was making a shift, to more adult titles like The Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen. And ever since those, I've kind of explored more independent publishers like Comico. Going back and doing some early buying at comic stores, I picked up as much of the Eternals as I could get, along with a few other titles. And then all of a sudden, I just kind of dropped off. I got a bit tired of the constant crossovers and obvious just money making schemes versus really telling a good story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's the way. That's what was one of my frustrations with comics. Plus the constant retooling of their quote-unquote comic worlds. DC was horrible at that. All those different Earths that they had and all those different storylines, and they reset their world. I don't know what, every 10 years they reset it? I mean,
they've done it. They just did it again recently.
Oh, really? Had they?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
They may have just started redoing it recently.
I mean, it's just like you said, it's a money making scheme. And I'm like, it's just not, it isn't as fun anymore. Because, I mean, showing my age, I remember when comics were like 20 cents. I mean, you can't, what's a comic go for now? $2 or $3?
$4 or $5.
That much now?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Good God.
You get a much better product, at least physically, than what we got when we were kids. I mean, it was printed on... We had the ones printed on newsprint. The colors weren't very good, and it was kind of hard to see details in it. Now, they're full color. Mm-hmm. beautiful to look at and everything. I don't. The content is a whole nother. That's a whole nother ball of wax there. But.
Yeah, they are hiring better artists, and they're doing a lot of computer post production. Now that is is for sure. That's part of where your dollar's going.
And they're printing it on better stock and using better methods. But you know, the days of just being able to walk into the grocery store and buy a comic book with pocket change, those are long.
Yeah, I remember doing that a lot when I was little. You go in there with a dollar, you can come out with four or five comics. You can't. They'd laugh you out of the fucking store now. I mean, you know. So it is interesting. For me, I don't even read any of the new comics anymore. Like I said, I think we were talking about this off air a couple of days ago. I think I did I bought some titles 5 or 6 years ago. Might even been longer. I lost track of time when DC was doing one of their resets again. I just got to a point where I couldn't afford it. You know, I mean, some of the stories were good. Don't get me wrong. It was interesting. The art was good, but I can't afford it. I mean, it's just not feasible for me as far as entertainment goes. I can get more bang for my buck in other outlets.
My wife brings that up, that comic books are not for kids anymore because you have to have a full-time job in order to afford to buy the things.
That's a good point.
That's very true. That's very true.
I mean, she'll go in. She reads a few titles. She'll go in once a month and drop, you know, $10 or $15 for like four comics. Mm-hmm. And you know, where if you're a kid that really enjoys them, where are you getting the money from for these things? I mean, you're probably bleeding your parents dry.
Exactly. I mean, that if you are a true comic fan, it's probably, unless you're rolling in dough, it's probably the only hobby you can afford. I mean, if you buy more than three or four titles a month, I mean, like, Rando, now, I know you're into the Magna. That's what they call them, right?
Well, you're close.
I don't know.
Dyslexic. It's Magma? Called Manga. Manga. M-A-N-G-A. Manga.
Whichever one it is.
They are, Manga, for those who don't know, are Japanese comics. There are several licensors and publishing houses that have been granted license from the original Japanese publishers, and they will translate them to English, reprint them. Sometimes they'll censor some of the content or re-edit it for our cultural and legal standards here, and then produce and sell them. So I've been buying a handful of titles that way.
Tentacles, kids. Tentacles. Yeah.
I got a story.
Uh-oh.
I worked for a bookstore briefly a few years ago, and they sold quite a bit of these manga titles. In fact, every time I go in there, the section's a little bigger. The first thing my wife goes to is the graphic novel section, and it's always three-quarters manga nowadays. But while I was working at this bookstore, we had this guy that would come and special order these homoerotic mangas and have them shipped to the store. Now, why he didn't and just order them and have them shipped his house, I don't know. But this one came in. We always look at them and shake our heads. But this one came in. It was a scratch and sniff homoerotic manga. I am not making that up.
I believe you.
I've got other stories to tell you. I have seen some of the omake, as they call them, or gifts or whatever that they'll include with like special editions of some of these things. Mm-hmm. One of the titles, I don't remember if it was the original work was a manga, but it was an anime called Noir, and it had to deal with some female assassins. And the first half of the show was kind of cool. The second half, to me, just went to pot. But that's another story. But one of the little premiums, if you bought into the special edition, or it might have just been a premium that you could buy, was little, what they call chibi, or kind of miniature and slightly childlike versions of the characters. Mm-hmm. But this was chibi soap on a rope of these two girls.
Oh, good grief.
And there was a series called Shuffle. It was an anime. And even the American licensor, which was and still is Funimation, when they initially put out the singles before they put out the collected work as a single unit, you could buy the art box edition that came with a special premium. And I got that not really realizing or maybe believing that they would actually do this. But it included a pair of high leg panties with the word God written on them.
And I believe you should post a picture of the on the website with you wearing those.
Yes.
That's
I'm
funny.
Wearing them now. No.
Oh, great, great. I felt there was something more relaxed in your voice.
It is a they have a different culture over there than we
it's
do.
It's a vastly different culture, but here's the thing. That's what I find interesting about it. You don't find, I mean, we roll our eyes at it and think, oh my God, who would do this? But the thing is that I think it's a little bit of cultural bias on our part as Americans, because we tend to treat mm-hmm. art forms like comics or even animated movies and TV shows as solely and strictly for children.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And in Japan, they are not. It is another art form, like a painting or great, you know, quote unquote, great literature. You can find any kind of story there. You can find religious stories to porn.
Right.
It is done in their graphic novels and it is done in their animation. They treat it simply as a genre. And in my opinion, I think that is really, really cool.
Well, I think it is. I mean, I think Americans have nothing to laugh at or other cultures. I mean, I got two words for you, honey boo boo.
That's very true.
We have no right to laugh at anybody else's culture.
It's kind of funny if you think about it, though. I mean, other cultures look to fantasy to deliver these types of things. As Americans, we've turned the camera on ourselves.
Yeah, but all that's fantasy and a very good topic for another show. Don't even get me started on reality TV.
In fact, I think that's on the list of future topics for the show.
Now, just backpedaling just for a second, Rando.
Okay.
Let's say you buy one of the regular, was it mangas? I'll make sure I'm using
manga.
Okay. Yeah. Just want to make sure I use the proper term. If you just buy a regular one, how much does that cost?
Well, usually they're sold as a collected work. They're often published in the original publications are usually large, thick volumes that have chapters out of various stories in them. And you buy them and you can read one or two chapters at a time out of various books or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when they're brought over to the States, there's only a couple of publications, I think it's Shoujo Beat and Shonen Jump, that are actually published still in that format. Most of them, they will take a range of those chapters, maybe depending on how long they are, maybe 5 or 10, probably less than 10. They'll put them in a bound volume and mm-hmm. sell it that way. So it's almost like, back in the day, the things we would call trade paperbacks. It's kind of the way it's sold right now.
Oh, okay. So when you see one of those little books, it's a series of...
Yeah, you'll get about, for your $10, you'll get at least, five chapters of story.
Okay.
See, that's a good value for your money there. I mean, you get a lot of story for not a very high price.
Yeah, I mean, and usually it's black and white, but I mean, who cares? I mean, if you can get into the characters, if you can get into the story, who cares?
No, yeah.
Well, those are the ones you buy, aren't they, Lefty? You buy those old essentials.
Oh yeah,
things,
I
right?
love those. I buy the old Marvel essentials. If you guys are not familiar with them, DC does it too. I think they call their showcase. But they come out with these comics from the 60s and 70s and 80s. They reprint them. I think it's 12 or 13 issues per volume. And it's just reprint, black and white reprints of comics basically I grew up with. And that's what I buy because I guess maybe it's more of a nostalgia thing or anything, but I do enjoy them. And, I mean, I try to find them used all I can. I mean, but, you know, but I do enjoy them. And I don't know.
I think that's the best point of it all, is that you enjoy it. There was that horrible 80s boom for comic sales where people were starting to buy them for investments, and then the bottom fell out. Mm-hmm. But people were only buying them for investments, and people were coming up with just beyond shit for titles and stories and premises. Mm-hmm. And they would bring them out. They'd print, you know, maybe 15 issues, and it would flop. And then, I've now got a collector's item. No, you don't.
You have crap.
Because they printed 5 million of them. They're not worth the paper they're printed on anymore.
They overprinted them. Half of them were crap, and for most of them, nobody cares. I speak from experience. I got burned by that on quite a few.
Yeah.
So I just went back and quit doing that crap, and I just started buying for my own personal enjoyment.
Well, do they still, like, mass... I guess they mass-produce comics now, right? So, I mean, there's really not going to be any value to them down the road, I don't think. Will there? I mean...
They tend to print special ones sometimes that have, like, the cover will be black and white, or it'll have a special foil binding or something. Those, I think, tend to be collector's items.
Yeah, typically in this country, you do get that sort of thing. As Poncho was saying, you get the variant cover, or there might be some sort of premium included with it, like maybe a special foil card or some such nonsense.
Yeah. Okay.
In Japan, they have these massive, massive, massive comic festivals, and there will be groups of writers and artists who are amateurs. They'll, with their own funds, make their own limited run of their own book, whether it's their original story or, as it is in many cases, an erotic story featuring characters that are already established from other media, and they'll sell them, and people will buy them. There's a market for this stuff.
And
even that is, I mean, you know, you can look down your pious nose at it or not, but people are self-publishing over there. And sometimes they do it to try to make some money. Sometimes they do it just for fun. Sometimes they do it just to get some recognition because they want to get into that field.
All right. Well, I'm not going to begrudge anybody trying to make money. I mean, you know. I mean, more power to you, you know. I mean, I personally, and this is going to be another great show one day, I personally am into anime more than I am those comics. I mean, I've seen them. I don't know. I kind of like the, and it's the kid in me that likes the animation probably better than anything else. But there are really good stories, you know what I mean? And I don't know. I'm old-fashioned, though. I do like my old ones. Things were really black and white, and things compared to newer comics, I'm sure it's like some kid would look at that and say, what the hell are you reading this for? It's for an 8-year-old, you know, but...
Yeah, well, it was at the time. It was aimed for little kids at the
time.
It's not like that anymore.
No, I mean, I think, like I said, it's more of a nostalgia factor. I mean, I enjoy them, don't get me wrong, but it is definitely, nostalgia does play into it.
Well, I don't really have a lot to contribute to this discussion. I kind of go in and out reading comics. I didn't really actually start till I was in high school. I never really read them a lot growing up, but I got into them really heavy in high school. And I kind of go in and out. I'll read them for a little while, and then I'll stop. And I haven't read any in a few years now. But Neil Gaiman's getting ready to release a new Sandman title, or what I've heard, or Sandman story. So that might draw me back in sometime soon.
That's cool. I think the last headline I remember reading, this was a few weeks ago actually, about the comics, they killed Peter Parker off supposedly. I don't know if you guys saw that or not.
I read about that. They replaced him with Dr. Octopus.
What? I didn't hear about that.
They're going to do that. Yeah, somehow their personalities got switched, and Dr. Octavius is now in Peter Parker's body, and I guess. But he's like, it didn't make a lot of sense to me.
I don't know.
It's like they switched them somehow, and now Dr. Ock is Spider-Man, and Peter Parker's dead.
That's as bad as the clone story they did. Good God.
Give it 6 months. Doctor Strange will figure out a way to exorcise the soul and summon Peter Parker back from the netherworld.
Oh, no doubt.
Just like when they killed Superman back in the 90s. Mm. You remember everybody was like, oh, my God, I can't believe they killed Superman. They can't do that. And I'm just like, he's going to be back in like six weeks.
They did the same thing with Captain America. They've done the same thing with... Nobody ever dies. That's one of the things I enjoyed about these manga. When people die, they fucking die. They stay dead. And other characters have to deal with it.
Right. I think, well, they just reset it. What they do, I mean, in American comics, they just reset everything.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they often do.
Yeah, and the whole thing with the Superman thing, if they had kept him dead for at least a couple of years, see, that's money they lose out on. So, see, that, to me, when they do shit like that, you're looking at it and it's like, it's not permanent. Why am I bother reading this? He's going to come back. Why am I having all this build up to something that's not going to be permanent in the storyline? Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, there's only so many times you can watch Superman beat up on Lex Luthor. Or there's only so many Batman stories where he can go against the Joker. You know what I mean? It's like...
There's only so many times a member of the Fantastic Four quits.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I mean, you know, it's just... I don't know.
That's a problem in comics, especially from Marvel and DC, I think, because their characters are so have been around so long, and they've got such a fan following, it gets to a point where you can't come up with anything new anymore.
Yeah.
Without really screwing them up and risking pissing off your fan base, like they've done with Spider-Man now. I think a lot of people were upset about that, but, you know, like Rando said, it's probably not permanent.
Right. No. I mean, there's only so many extremes you can go to, you know, too. I mean, you can only make the Joker so evil. You know what I mean? You can only... I mean, at some point, somebody's got to go, why the fuck doesn't Batman just shoot him? You know what I mean? I mean, number one, and also, you know, let's get some better security at Arkham Asylum, by the way. I just like to say that right now. Let's just get a little bit better security. Maybe somebody should turn on the alarm or something.
Yeah, that would be a good plan. Get somebody other than Wackenhut to guard the
gate. Yeah, exactly. You know. Oh,
my God. Well, should we go on to our bad movie, or do we want to put that off? Because we've kind of run long.
Well, we've run long, but what the hell?
this could be a super bonus episode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More for your internet dollar.
Yeah, twice the boredom at half the price.
There you go. And speaking of boredom, this movie, Surf Nazis Must Die, was boring.
Yes, yes. It tried to beat you to death by doing nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's like nothing happened for like all but the last 10 minutes. And even then, you're like, what the hell's going on here?
Right. I mean, it was to say it was just a series of scenes taped together is an insult of series of scenes taped together. I mean, to give the basic premise of the movie, if there is such a thing, this group. There's different groups of gangs, I guess, for lack of a better word, that represent surfer gangs, and they all represent different types of people. Like you actually have surfer gang, like hey dude kind of gang members. Then you have the Nazis, which is you know what else can you say about that? Then you have like the little Asian gang, and there was another. For some reason, there were a bunch of, like, 15 kids on fucking skateboards. I still don't know what the hell that was about.
I don't know what the hell that was about either.
But, I mean, it's all tied together. Supposedly, they're taking over the beach after, like, what, a giant earthquake or something? I mean, I've seen the movie, but I can't fucking get it, you know?
Yeah. There was supposedly some sort of cataclysmic event, like an earthquake or some horrible weather thing. And apparently, everybody in town acts the same, except for there are now surfer gangs and zero police presence.
Exactly.
And nobody bothered to call in the National Guard to restore order, apparently.
Yeah, and
even a National Guard that can't shoot it straight.
And, and I mean, on top of that, there are people still going to the beach.
Yeah, despite all the news reports on the radio not to go to the beach because people are getting beat up and robbed. People are still going to the beach and getting beat up and robbed.
Exactly. So figure that one out, kids.
But in lieu of a zero police presence, we have an angry black woman that is not Tyler Perry.
Yeah, a real angry
black woman. Exactly. A black woman who had her son, she didn't have him killed. Her son was killed by one of the surf Nazis.
By Adolf. Mm-hmm. They go by the names Adolf, Ava, and Mangala. And Brutus.
Oh, yeah. That Nazi. I remember him.
And Smeg.
Yeah, Smeg. Smeg was the little blonde kid.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And a special credit for Smeg's mom.
Yeah.
Yes. Specifically.
You know you're
listed.
In for a treat when there's a character named Smeg's mom in your movie.
She's important enough to get her own credit completely on its own separate plate. That's the only thing you see on the screen, but she's not important enough to actually get a name.
Exactly. And what
or be in more than two scenes.
Exactly. Exactly. And what really disappointed me about this movie, and I guess you would just file it under 80s horror maybe slash sci-fi, there was not enough naked women in it for me. Usually you get a good handful of that.
Yeah, I thought...
But there wasn't hardly any.
I thought
any.
There'd be a lot more boobies than there was. There were only two booby sightings in this whole hour and a half long film, which for that... What this movie was really low. Yeah. Usually you expect to be a lot, you see a lot more skin than what you actually got.
Exactly. I mean, that's, you know, the reason they actually made the movie, there's not even there.
Yeah.
They tried to focus on the story.
There was no story. They were just trying to focus on the fact that the Nazis don't really do anything. I mean, for 90% of the movie, Adolf was just a complete pussy. And all he did was just talk, and he didn't even talk a good game. And in one of his big dramatic scenes, he just confronts a guy who runs a pawn shop saying, "Don't screw me over. I'm an econ major."
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which just leads me to believe that it's just scores of children, you know, basically is what they are. They're grown-up children who have, you know, flunked out of college and don't know what to do with their lives, so they just lost their minds. They're not even losing their minds on drugs. They just lost their minds.
Yeah.
And they're like, surfing is the only thing that makes them somewhat happy, and you don't even see that many scenes of them surfing. It looks like it's all stock footage.
Yeah, but you do see a lot of people surfing, though.
Yes, for no reason. You know,
for no reason.
That's right.
I mean, they'll build up to, like, there's going to be a rumble, and then they go off to people surfing for the next 2 minutes. And then when you come back, something's happened off camera while people were surfing, and everybody's pissed off about it. You have no idea what the fuck just happened.
Exactly. Surfing, Pancho. Surfing.
Yeah, surfing. Surfing.
Oh, yes. Oh, God. But
first there was rock climbing, then there was sandstorm.
Surfing.
Surfing, exactly. But I will say this, because the movie is so goddamn boring, by the time the last 5 minutes of film rolls around and that black woman has had enough, I was almost standing up with my arms in the air doing fist bumps going like, go get him. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're hiding behind the rock. Go get him.
She was the only sympathetic character in the entire film.
True.
Yeah. I mean, you did actually find yourself rooting for her, if nothing else, just so she could kill everybody off and end the movie.
Oh,
so
yes.
You didn't have to suffer.
My only wish was that she went after the writer and director instead of the actors.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I did point this out to Lefty before we started recording, that you have these groups of gangs, these hardened criminal gangs. One of them gets too big for his britches, and it takes an elderly black woman to put him down. It takes an elderly woman on a motorcycle with a pistol to take him down because the other gangs can't do it.
I know. Like, all of a sudden, the surf Nazis are badasses for the last 20 minutes of the movie, and the rest of the time they're just mildly annoying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, it was just bad. Bad, 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 bad. It was bad and bland at the same time. And that's kind of hard to do. I mean, but they succeeded with this movie.
Oh, well, they've succeeded with many movies. This was a Troma release. Troma, the team responsible for the Toxic Avenger movies.
Oh.
And a number of others. Actually, I saw the first Toxic Avenger movie. And as bad as it was, it's way better than this.
It would have to be. I could.
It would have to be. Yeah. This has easily been the worst of the three that we've talked about. I mean, the other two, at least, they were really bad, but they had stuff happen in them. Nothing happened in this movie.
I got to grant you that.
90% of it.
I got to grant you that. This, as far as things happening, this is actually worse than Bigfoot.
It's a different level of bad, that's for sure. I mean,
yeah, it's definitely a different type of bad.
Yeah,
movie.
Bigfoot had plenty to laugh at and plenty of, like, what the fuck? This had some stuff to laugh at, some what the fuck stuff, but it also had a bunch of nothing. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I couldn't even recommend this with a guilty conscience. I can't recommend this without a guilty conscience.
You know, no, this is definitely, this can't even fall into a guilty pleasure film unless you have done some serious drugs and your nervous system is just that warped to begin with. This is bad, but that's what this whole movie review was all about. It's just horrible.
Exactly.
Now,
but speaking.
I think I was getting ready to say what you were going to say.
I was going to say we're going to give the B movies a rest for.
There
a week,
you go. Yep, that's what I was going
to
say.
Okay, we need to rest our psyches up a little bit, so we're going to still do a little movie segment next weekend, but we're going to talk about underappreciated movies. I think we're each going to come up with a movie we think should get more praise than it does. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a diamond in the rough, okay, so to speak. Something we think is good, whether it's a B movie or not, that we think is worthy of some attention.
And we'd like your ideas, too. I mean, go to our website, mlctaskforce.com. We're also on Facebook now.
Yes, we are.
We'd love to hear from you. If you got a movie like that, you know, we'll read it out and, you know, we'll go over it with, you know, we'll talk about it. So, you know, feel free to come visit us and see what we got to say and just give your little input.
All right. Yep. Nothing to add to that. I think we've just about done. We're just about done.
We got another good show, I think.
I think we're good.
I hope so.
It's in the can, gang. We'll see everybody next week. Take care, and happy motoring.
Take care, folks.
We'll see you next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.